The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Upgrade listeners, come to the Upgrade live in Brooklyn. Alice and I are going to be talking with the media theorist Douglas Rushkoff and author and editor Jill Abramson at On Air Fest in Williamsburg, Brooklyn on Friday, March 2nd at 2 p.m. Get tickets at onairfest.com. Hello, and welcome to The Upgrade, the podcast from the team at Lifehacker, where we help you improve your life one week at a time. I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker. And this week, we're talking about the self-proclaimed front page of the internet, the massive online community known as Reddit. For some, Reddit is a second home, a place to hang out, post links, chat, and trash talk with like-minded friends and foes. For others, it's a confusing rabbit warren with its own weird rules and etiquette, a teeming hive of enthusiasts and trolls, an overwhelming curiosity that they might visit every now and then, but who has time to learn to navigate what's essentially a complex system of message boards? So here in the studio with me is Ben Brock Johnson, the host of Endless Thread, a new podcast from Reddit and WBUR Boston. You may know Ben from Marketplace Tech on American Public Media, which he hosted for 4 years, or his time as a writer for Slate. Whether you're a diehard Redditor or a total skeptic, Ben's got secrets and tips for fully experiencing all of Reddit.com. So, Ben, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for the uninitiated,
yeah,
what is Reddit?
The way that I would describe it to someone who's never even heard of it is basically a massive collection of communities that are all gathered around specific topics or ideas where people can post content of all kinds and reply to that content and also give it upvotes and downvotes. Each community turns into a kind of machine of like showing what is popular
mm-hmm.
or what is controversial or what is exciting.
So like fundamentally, like it's a message board, right? It's barest bones.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would describe it that way. So like I'm 37. Like my first interaction with the internet was like AOL, dial-up, and message boards and chat rooms, right? And Reddit has that kind of feel to it. There's a lot of text. People are sort of replying to each other and interacting. But sure, I would call it in some ways a message board or a collection of message boards.
So you have a podcast about Reddit.
Yes.
And it's called Endless Thread.
Uh-huh.
And a podcast about Reddit seems like an incredibly large topic to take on.
Yes.
Like dancing about architecture.
Right. So that phrase to me says like trying to do something that's impossible and doesn't fit.
Right. Or apply a different medium to something that already has its own sort of like language and culture.
Totally. And I think in a way we are doing that. It's weird. It's a really broad remit. We're still exploring the site itself and like trying to understand it and interact with its users. I've been a user since probably 2012. It's a really big idea. It's like basically like we're making a podcast about the front page of the internet, which is as broad as you can imagine.
And so each episode takes a story from Reddit or a post from Reddit and mm-hmm. then sort of expands on it, right? How do you get in touch with the Redditors whose stories you're telling when you do?
Basically, what we do is we reach out to a ton of Redditors because we are Redditors ourselves, myself and the producer of the show, Anne-Marie Sieverton. So we basically send a lot of, for lack of a better term, email out to Redditors. They're called personal messages or PMs. We PM a ton of people and some of them get back to us immediately. Some of them never get back to us. You know, it's a lot like making a regular radio show or a regular podcast, but it's just in this specific platform.
It seems like one of the things that's alluring about Reddit is that you can be anonymous so that you can confess something or tell a story or ask a question or ask someone to explain something to you like you're five and not reveal your identity. So do you run into that a lot? Like people who don't want to?
All the time. It's tough.
Yeah.
We come across stories all the time that are like intensely personal. And the person who created the account like wants to remain anonymous, and we respect that. I'll try to give a couple of examples. So like one story that is like one of my favorite stories that I've seen was this person in Washington State. He had inherited a house from a family member. He was doing some basic repairs to the house, and he opened up a wall and he found a packet of money, and he was like, oh, that's weird. And then he looked inside the wall and he found $100,000 in a videotape. He posted on, I think it was the personal finance community, and basically said, how do I pay the least amount of taxes on this? I want to pay off my student loans and pay off my car. But also, all of a sudden, I have $100,000 in cash. Like, I literally don't know what the next step is. And that person clearly, like, doesn't want people showing up at their house and, like, knocking their walls down to look for more money.
Right.
So there are stories like that that we've talked about telling, almost just, like, telling in that way and talking to some of the people who gave that person advice, uh-huh. but maybe not the op or the original poster.
How much input does Reddit have?
Basically, the way that the process works is we produce the content. We give Reddit a heads up about what we are producing. Then we deliver them the episode before it goes out, and they give us notes, and then we put it out. And so far, just to say this, we've never had an episode killed. We've generally speaking, like, all of their notes are pretty small, and they're not kind of fundamental to the kinds of stories that we're trying to tell. So, mm-hmm. so far, I will say it's been an actually really positive relationship with them, just kind of giving us feedback and advice and guidance.
That's so interesting, just thinking about the division between, like, the content creators and the people that are in charge of the business now, which is happening everywhere in all kinds of media, and that you're sort of at the forefront of this, because it seems like Reddit is figuring out what kind of company they want to be right now. Like, are they a content company? Are they a social media platform? And so the fact that they're giving you notes on a podcast means that they're, you know, your client in some way. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
Yeah. You know, I will say, I'm not speaking on behalf of Reddit. I'm speaking on behalf of Endless Thread and WBUR. But I will say, I think we're both trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think that for Reddit, there's a ton of content on the site that people who don't use the site are not aware of. And some of that content is really powerful and interesting. And I think their goal is to surface that content for mm-hmm. people so that people understand what's happening on the site.
That's a really good segue into what I want to talk about, because you said people that don't use Reddit have no idea that there are these incredible stories on there.
Sure.
People who use Reddit have no idea that there are incredible stories on there. Let's talk about the structure of the site itself. I find it to be pretty user unfriendly. Uh-huh. It's a page of text, essentially, when you arrive at the homepage.
What's wrong with text, Melissa? Come on.
We're post-text now. why does Reddit seem so daunting for the first-time visitor, or even for the 100th time visitor who wants to discover new content?
You know, I guess I would say, like, yes, sometimes your first impression as somebody who's, like, not an expert Redditor might be like, whoa, this is looks kind of like not like the other parts of the internet that I've experienced. And it's kind of like weird to me as someone who's now, like, fully gotten into the hot tub, like, not to be too weird about it, but
I like that it's a hot tub now.
Yeah, you kind of like, you dip your toes in, yeah. and like you eventually like acclimate a little bit.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like really amazing. So what a lot of Redditors say is that it's sort of data dense because of the fact that there's so much text and the way that it's organized. It can be really powerful, but that also means sometimes, like, for the novice, it's like, what is this thing that doesn't look like the internet usually does, and how does it work?
Right. So let's just talk about the lingo, right? Like the vocabulary of Reddit.
Sure.
It's my first time there. What's a user?
My definition of a user would be someone who has an account.
And do people have multiple accounts?
Yeah. One of the unique qualities of the platform is that it allows people to be anonymous.
Right.
So people use the site all the time for a lot of different things. And there are people who use the site who have like jobs that they don't necessarily want their behavior on the site to be connected to their job,
sure.
for instance. Mm-hmm. So people have alt accounts. Like, I talk to people relatively often who say, like, oh, like, I have three accounts and like this is the account that I use for this. So recently we had talked to somebody who is recovering from heroin addiction. So he's about 5.5 months clean. he used the site a lot to actually help him kind of fight that addiction. There's a couple of subreddits or communities that are specifically geared for people who are trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He has his regular account, and then he has his account that he uses in those communities.
Sure.
That he doesn't want to be necessarily connected to some of his other behavior. Does that make sense?
Totally. It's like a town. And in a town, like, if you're the guy getting over the heroin addiction, it's hard to also be the guy who's like really into the Knicks or, right? Or like the guy who like just wants to geek out on baking bread, you know, without everybody in town being like, what's going on with the heroin addiction?
Yes.
So you, with Reddit, you can have these different identities or these different usernames, and you can solely be the guy who's, you know, working on his heroin addiction, and no one knows it's the same guy who's talking about the best temperature to bake a baguette.
I want to know both of those guys, by the way.
I love those guys. it helps to give dimension to an individual to think, you know, when you see a stranger, this guy may just be really into baking bread, somebody who looks scary on the street or something.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So you mentioned subreddits. What is a subreddit?
Subreddits are these sort of individual message boards, communities, groups of people talking about the same given topic.
Some examples of subreddits. There are the super weird ones, but they're also the ones like just personal finance is a subreddit, right?
Personal finance. And interestingly, personal finance and also legal advice are two that weirdly, like, those sound kind of boring maybe, but they have crazy questions and answers and stories on them. So there's stuff like that. There's like World News. There's Ask Historians, where you can actually ask historians questions about history, and you get really sort of like high quality, crazy answers. And that one's actually heavily moderated, and we can talk about that. But then you have stuff like, okay, I found this one yesterday. It's called Cats Murdering Toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cats attacking small children. Which
just videos?
Yes, mostly videos or GIFs. And
right.
And like, okay, that maybe that sounds a little scary, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then you have like Birds with Arms. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
So that's just images of birds with photoshopped arms on them.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
why not? Mm-hmm.
This is what the internet hath wrought.
There's a lot. A problem that I've had is discovery on Reddit. Like, how do I find subreddits that I'm into?
Okay. One thing I do on Reddit every day is hit the random button. It's just at the top of the page, and it just says random, and you hit it, and it takes you to a subreddit. That's how I found Spider Bro, and this is a subreddit dedicated to people who understand intellectually that spiders are our bros, because they like kill bad bugs and stuff like that, but have arachnophobia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this really kind of positive community around like, here are photos of spiders, which are our bros. So let's all love spiders and remember to love spiders.
All right, I have a couple questions about Spider Bros.
Okay.
are the photos of like spiders wearing sweaters and like, you know, walking their dogs, like trying to make them less scary? Or are they like photos, scary photos of spiders, and then like, he's your bro. Don't be afraid of this black widow.
I would say it kind of runs the gamut in my experience. So like a lot of it is like, found this spider bro in my windowsill today. What a nice guy.
Aww.
Or something like that. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like stuff like that. It's not like be afraid.
Right.
It's more like, hey, check out this spider that's set up in my dish rack.
Right.
I put him in a cup and I moved him to this corner of my
right.
house.
Okay.
It's stuff like that. But I will also say, just in terms of you're talking about discoveries, I asked your producer about some of the things that you're into, and I heard you're into drumming. And so I heard...
That's why he was asking me about drumming. I was like, Levi's never interested in my personal life.
Oh, we're both interested. And so there are... So just so you know, there are a lot of drumming subreddits. I think you might be into Brazilian drumming, potentially.
That's right.
So there's...
I feel seen.
You are seen. There's not a Brazilian drumming subreddit. I did the research, mm-hmm. but there is a Brazilian music subreddit,
mm-hmm.
and there's obviously a Brazil subreddit, but one of my favorite things to do is just like sit down with someone and be like, what are you into? And then Reddit's search function is actually pretty useful.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I will like literally just guess like, is this a subreddit? And I will put it in. I'll put like reddit.com/r/puffycoats. And a lot of times that will be a thing that mm-hmm. exists.
Right. And Reddit does try to help with discovery by recommending subreddits that are similar to the one that you're on. I've found out about things that are interesting to me just through the recommendations I get on a particular subreddit.
Sure. Totally.
Like personal finance will recommend like homesteading.
Oh, yeah. On the right-hand side.
Yeah,
totally. That's something that's interesting to see because Reddit's communities are basically organized by volunteer moderators. And those moderators will often put the rules on the right-hand rail, and they will also put other subreddits or subreddits that are connected to the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are hubs. So, like, someone will put together, like, a massive list of subreddits that are all kind of around one topic, for
mm-hmm.
instance.
So, as far as, like, the participating on Reddit.
Sure.
And interacting with other people, what's upvoting?
It's very similar to liking something on Facebook in some ways. You're basically saying, I like this. And that helps to surface that content for more people.
And what about karma?
Karma is like points just for like good times. The more you interact with the site, the more karma you get. You get more karma when your stuff is upvoted. You get less karma when it's downvoted. One thing that users seem to use karma for, and I think this is, again, this is not necessarily something that the administrators even like planned for, but it's something that seems to happen. Basically, like if you're a user and you post something and another Redditor is deciding whether or not to interact with you, they might look at your karma and say, okay, this person is like, they're engaged in the community. They've been doing this for a while. They've posted things before. This is not just some random person trying to do something that I don't actually want to interact with.
So the moderators are volunteers who are making sure things don't go totally off the rails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that their main function?
Like any sort of internet-based community around a given topic, the moderators help to kind of define the rules of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all playing by the same rules.
Right.
And those rules really differ from community to community, if
that
makes sense.
Are there any particularly arcane rules that you can think of for particular subreddits?
One thing that I've been sort of blown away by is, so Ask Historians specifically and the Legal Advice subreddit, the people who moderate those communities are incredibly experienced and incredibly engaged in the topic. So as I understand it, Ask Historians, to answer a question posed on Ask Historians, you have to meet a pretty high bar of criteria. So you need to be like an official historian, like that needs to be your job, or you need to have a kind of history of interacting on the site that has proven your level of expertise in a very specific topic area. And your answer has to cite three different papers or publications that support your answer, and your answer has to be within the general agreed upon consensus of what the answer is. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
So if someone was asking a history question about climate change, as we all know, there's like 97% agreement on climate change and like that it's a thing and that it's created in part by humans. So like your answer to that question needs to reflect that kind of paradigm.
And the mods are making sure that the answers do and that the users that answer questions are qualified to do so.
Absolutely.
Is there like ask a gastroenterologist? I'm just thinking of, you know, you can get free legal advice. Can I talk to doctors?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Is it HIPAA? Is that the thing I'm thinking of? I don't know what the rules are around that. But I will say there are a lot of communities and conversations on Reddit that are based around health issues. Mm-hmm. We're working on an episode right now with someone who has, for lack of a better term, an invisible illness. She has an illness that is incredibly painful. I think the nickname for it, some people call it the suicide disease because people kill themselves because they're feeling all of this pain and nobody knows how to fix it. And this person has found some level of answers on the site. And again, like, this is not a service that pretends to be an official service, right? And there's some trickiness there, but there's like an amazing level of expertise in certain communities that you can really tap into.
Tell us about what an AMA is. You did one recently.
Yeah. So AMA stands for Ask Me Anything. And sometimes people will phrase it, I am a. So like, I am an undertaker, ask me anything. An interesting example, a video got super popular on Reddit of a weatherman doing like, just like kind of like an amazingly informative explainer of some like crazy weather that was happening. Mm-hmm.
That red circle closest to the middle, that's the eye wall. That's where you find the winds of 185 miles an hour. But notice it has a second eye wall where you still will find intense winds, likely over 100 miles an hour.
And that went super viral on Reddit. And then he did an AMA. So like he got super popular and then he did an AMA and all these people had a ton of questions for him about like how he had gotten into the work that he had gotten into. And like, you know, sex workers have done AMAs and then like celebrities do AMAs. It's an interesting way to just have a really direct conversation between Redditors and people of interest.
In 2015, the Daily Beast said, Reddit is not so much the generic front page of the internet as it is its spacious, tricked-out man cave. A lot of people can fit inside, but only some people feel comfortable hanging out there. Is Reddit all dudes?
So it's been interesting. I almost mentioned this before because we kept saying guys, you mm-hmm. and I, as we were talking.
Right.
So the last information that I saw was that it was 47-53.
I saw 75% men, but...
Yeah, so it's interesting because there are so many different accounts and there's the anonymity involved.
Sure.
And Reddit doesn't force people like Facebook does to say a lot about who they are necessarily, right? I'll say this. My experience thus far has been that that is not the case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have talked to people thus far on the show of all ages and backgrounds who are across the spectrum on the LGBTQ scale, mm-hmm. From straight to trans to, I mean, we've had lots of different kinds of people on the show. And that's been my experience so far, is that there are lots of different kinds of people whose stories we end up wanting to tell. Mm-hmm. So I can't really speak to who are all of these people and what is the actual breakdown. And mm-hmm. I actually don't even know if Reddit admins can.
Right.
But I would say that my experience is not that.
This stereotype persists about Reddit, mm-hmm. you know, that the typical Redditor is sitting in his basement looking at upskirt photos of young girls, mm-hmm. right? And that it's a pretty misogynist community. You haven't had any experience with that?
I'll say a couple of things. That sounds like someone who doesn't understand the internet talking about the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Statements like that to me like don't feel real.
Right.
Because like that sounds like Donald Trump saying like the people doing the cyber in their basement.
Right.
Right. Like that's the image that comes to mind for me.
Are you comparing me with Donald Trump?
Well, you didn't say this, right?
Right.
You're
right.
Like describing something that you right. feel in the ether.
Right. I feel it in the ether.
Yeah. So like, I guess what I would say, speaking from my experience only, not as an official representative of Reddit, that has not been nearly my experience. Like, I'm not in my parents' basement. I'm a 37-year-old man who, you know, I happen to be a white man. I don't have a neck beard. So, I think that, to me, I've talked to Redditors, you know, all kinds of people from all over the country and all over the world who interact with the site and don't fit that description at all.
You do have things like Gamergate and all the different voices on the Donald and conspiracy theorists and just sort of like a general trolling population that does contribute to the reputation of Reddit being the worst of what the internet has to offer, right? And I'm not asking you to defend it. I want to address it because I feel like it's a real barrier to entry for people who don't know much about Reddit and who, you know, find it difficult to find their own community there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it's so important to me that people get into Reddit, but I do think that it does have a ton to offer. But I've gone to Gamergate subreddits. I've looked at this stuff. I've seen the kind of vitriol that's on there, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. I guess my question would be, is that not present on Twitter and Facebook and like Google and mm-hmm. like all of the other massive platforms that exist on the internet?
Right.
You know, Reddit is a reflection of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the internet has good and bad and weird and like beautiful and ugly. To me, that's never been my experience with Reddit.
Right.
And I think that like, if you engage, you can find the communities that you're into. And I think that that can be very positive.
I will say that the first time I realized the utility of Reddit or that there might be something there for me was when I was writing about buying bras. And I had written up this whole thing about like how you fit yourself for a bra. And I sent it to my editor, and who was much younger than I was and, you know, had grown up with Reddit. She said, oh, you know, you have to go to the subreddit A Bra That Fits, where they have their own measurement system and like they have deconstructed exactly how to fit yourself for a bra.
Whoa.
And I tried their method and, you know, was shocked as somebody who's kind of an expert in this sort of thing or thought I was to find that, you know, my bra size was different and that they have this whole community around finding the perfect bra. And so, yeah, for every Gamergate subreddit, there's a bra that fits.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And now it's time for our upgrade of the week. Each week we go around and share that one tiny thing we've done this week that's made a big difference in our lives. Joining me and Ben in the studio once again is our producer, Levi Sharp. Levi, what's your upgrade this week?
So my upgrade this week, it's kind of a two-parter. There's this program called Wine HQ that originally stood for Wine is Not an Emulator, and it allows you to play Windows programs on your Mac. The reason I looked for something
Duke
like
Nukem?
This.
What's it?
I mean, close.
Okay.
So when you say Windows programs, you mean Windows games?
Well, I think it works for any program,
okay.
But I specifically sought this out because there is an old game that was made back in 1987 called NetHack.
Nice.
Which it's really difficult to describe, but I was trying to describe this to my girlfriend, Caitlin, and the best way I could do it was that imagine D&D as a video game, but an old video game where the maps and dungeons and things and monsters and stuff are all text. So you run around as an at sign.
Right.
And say you bump into a troll. That's a capitalized T.
Okay.
And other monsters are letters and such. Items are other different, like, keys. Also, the game allows you to do so much that imagine that every key on your keyboard is a command, and then also imagine that key plus shift is another command for something for you to do. Mm. So you can like dip scrolls into fountains or like rub lamps or sit on stuff.
That's awesome.
It's just like this massive game that was released in 1987. And I played it back in the day because my dad's a computer programmer and he's a nerd. And thus his nerddom passed on to me.
I was going
to
say, yeah. 87. Mm-hmm. That's, mm-hmm. How old are you?
That was a year before I was born.
Oh my God.
do you mess with Dwarf Fortress?
No, but I think somebody else was telling me about this.
Yeah, if you like NetHack, you might also like Dwarf Fortress.
All right.
Speaking of discovery.
Yeah.
So WineHQ.
WineHQ to play Windows programs on your Mac and then use that to be able to play NetHack, an old ass computer game that's super nerdy and ridiculously fun.
Ben, what about you? What's your upgrade?
So I think I'm going to do this thing that Levi and I discovered we both have today when I walked into your beautiful offices. And I recently bought one for my mom for her birthday, and she also loves it. It's Zoji Rushi. It's this thermos. I don't know. I like thermoses. I don't know how to describe it. It has a lock that's really nice, and it has a button that pops the top.
Can I help you? Because I'm admiring how it is made of a matte black steel,
yes,
aluminum.
It's very sleek.
It's very,
yes,
sleek. It, yeah, looks almost like it's holding like secret film that you're going to like transport back to East Berlin.
Yeah. It reminds me of the fake Barbasol can that Newman uses in Jurassic Park to take the dinosaur DNA.
Wow.
You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like if you opened it, like dry ice sort of steam,
yeah, yeah,
would,
yeah,
come out.
I'm going to pop the top.
Yeah, that's nice. Satisfying.
Yep. It's just satisfying, right?
Sometimes I just sit at my desk and pop that.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
But what are you putting in there? So you have a hot beverage in there? Is
coffee,
that what's
and water.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing.
So you're using your Zoji Rushi as a water bottle. Can I?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty heavy to use as a water bottle.
It's true, but I'm like pretty heavy, so.
I don't even know what to say to that. It's really good looking.
I meant that as in serious, but then it sounded like I was insulting myself.
Oh, man.
Which seems appropriate.
No, it's going to, yeah, add some weight to your backpack.
When, yeah, it's full of water.
Yeah. It feels like it might be heavy, yeah, if it's empty. No?
It doesn't, okay, feel heavy to me when it's empty, but it's like really well designed and satisfying, and the hot coffee always stays hot in it. And
which is what you want from a thermos.
Exactly.
Is thermos a brand name?
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's like Kleenex or Frisbee.
I know.
You know?
Still.
Yeah. In your hot...
Your vacuum sealed container.
Yeah, your hot beverage cylinder.
Yeah. Nice. Well, now I want one.
Yeah.
You can have this one here.
Wow.
I have to wash it. Can I say one other thing about it? Like every part of it comes apart.
Uh-huh.
In this way that, like, you can really get it clean. Like, mm-hmm, I'm pulling the little rubber thing off of the mouth thing.
Right.
Which also goes into the top thing.
Yep.
Now I have to put it back together. Oh, God.
Yep.
Cool. But I love it.
Yeah. I also love mine.
We just got a new sponsor.
Yeah, right. So, Melissa, what's your upgrade?
So, I have been using Sonos as my sound system in my apartment for years. I have several Sonos speakers. And lately, different speakers would start cutting out and just turn themselves off, or I would have all of the speakers connected so that they'd be playing the same thing and, you know, they'd completely separate and then forget what they were playing.
They would unpair.
Is it still unpairing when there are five of them?
They had a conscious decoupling.
That sounds parable.
And I had been connecting them through my apartment's Wi-Fi network. And I finally gave in, even though I hate the idea of having to have anything wired with Sonos because the whole point is that it's wireless. But they recommend if you have more than two units that you connect them with a boost setup, is what they call it. And that means you wire one of the speakers and then they create their own independent network called a Sonos Net. Do you know,
nice,
this already?
It sounds like a mesh network, but
yes,
yeah,
it is a mesh network.
Okay.
That's right. So on this mesh network, no problems with the Sonos at all.
Yeah.
If you have an Android device, which I don't, I hear you can operate the Sonos system even if you're not on Wi-Fi. So if you're out of range of Wi-Fi, you can still control your speakers. I guess that's for people who have like Sonos out by the pool.
Want to like freak the people out when the people are home
right.
and they're at the office.
Exactly. Yeah. And probably, you know, I think the new generation Sonos speakers, you know, they have Alexa integrated and all of this stuff, but mine don't. So if you're having trouble with your Sonos speakers dropping out, set up the Boost setup and Sonos Net and it really works.
Get boosted.
Get boosted.
Ben, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm going to raid your bar now.
Excellent.
Yeah, please do.
Cool.
And that's our show. The Upgrade is produced by Levi Sharp. Our executive director of audio is Mandana Mofidi. Our theme music is by Slow Biz, and Brad Fisher mixed the episode. Want to get in touch? You can email us at upgrade@lifehacker.com or leave us a voice message at 347-687-8109, and we might use it on a future episode. And if you please, rate and review The Upgrade on Apple Podcasts, or what some people still call iTunes. More ratings means that more people find the show, and that's good for all of us. Come see The Upgrade live at On Air Fest in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, on March 2nd at 2 p.m. We'll be talking to media mastermind Douglas Rushkoff and editor and author Jill Abramson. You can find out about this very cool festival and get tickets at onairfest.com. Follow Lifehacker on Twitter at Lifehacker and on Facebook at facebook.com/lifehacker. And you can find show notes for this and every episode of The Upgrade at lifehacker.com/the show.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.